Nice. Go rehab.
Hey everyone, it's your girl Harper here on another episode of Nice Girl Rehab. I am so fucking tired. I'm just like on a really bad sleeping schedule and can't seem to find the energy to wake up in the morning. But every time I try to go to bed around 11 o'clock, it's like, oh, I can watch these stupid Judge Judy videos on YouTube and keep myself up for another 3 hours. Ah, man. So this is kind of going to be an episode that's kind of slapped together. Excuse me for that. But I think it's a pretty interesting concept that I'm going to be sharing with you today. Because as a nice girl, you know, I've been with a lot of guys, and how many fucking years has it been since I've been in an actual serious committed relationship? I would say it was around 8 years, maybe. It's a long fucking time. So, and within that time span, I definitely fucked a lot of dudes. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was in college, I was partying a lot, and hooking up with guys was not only a fun pastime for me and a lot of my other friends, it was also something that kind of pushed my nice girl agenda. In a way, it kind of forced me to realize that I wasn't going to be in a committed relationship because I was picking these terrible dudes to be around. And also the fact that these dudes would just continuously do this kind of push and pull back and forth with me. So it would be one of these things where, oh, I'm so infatuated with her. Oh, I'd love to go on dates with her and make her think that something's going to come out of this. And then the pullback type thing. So we've already had sex. It looks like it's going to slightly get more serious, and he pulls back and stops talking to me, or pulls back and maybe doesn't invite me to any parties anymore, or doesn't want to talk to me anymore, or maybe, you know, just stupid things like that, where it's like they really lead you on to think that you're going to be dating them, and then they pull back because that was never the intention. And it really wasn't the intention for me as well. I think for me, it was one of those things where I felt like if I was going to be, I have no other way of saying this, but an emotionally unavailable slut, then I would need to kind of have some kind of relationship come out of it to make me feel better. And now I realize that, hey, you can be an emotionally unavailable slut and not feel bad about it. Like, just own up to yourself, own up what you're doing. You know, if you want to have fun, have fun. You don't have to feel like you have to make up for your bad behavior, as it were. I don't even see that as bad behavior if you're not hurting anyone. But at least being honest with that other person that, hey, you just want to have fun, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course, there's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of deep emotional and social implications that come with the female psyche and overt sexuality. And that was something that I was still dealing with as a girl growing up in the South. And a lot of those customs and beliefs still drilled in my head. Even if it wasn't directly drilled in my head, there were a lot of kind of hidden, obscure messages that were sent to me through family members, through society, through the people I was around, that's not okay. It's not okay to be a girl and want to have sex, and that's it. So my nice girl mentality was, that's not okay for me, so I'm going to have to be in a relationship with a guy. And I really wanted to be in a relationship, and it just led to a bunch of bullshit. And I'm just going to share some stories about guys who I dealt with in the past, the ghosts of my Christmas past, as it were, and also the fact that some of these guys are still trying to contact me, that push and pull scenario. It's like they pushed me away and stopped talking to me, and I swear to God, it's like clockwork. At least a year later, maybe 6 months later, I'll get random little texts back like, hey, what you doing, or hey, how are you, or just hey. And you're like, who this? New phone, who this? Really, it's like, who this? Because I've deleted their phone number. And a lot of these dudes wait until years. I've had some guys literally wait for 3 years to respond back to me or to even text me saying, hey, what's up? Because for some reason they feel like I'm still going to come to their beck and call. No, bitch. So I'm just going to kind of talk about that because it's fucking frustrating. I'll give you an example for today. The guy that I was talking about, yeah, literally, I hadn't even talked to this guy for, I want to say it was more than 3 years. I'm going to say it's at least 4 or 5 years. And I'm not exaggerating. This is true. I met him during college. I'm going to call him, I'm going to refer to him as Dirty Hippie because he really was Dirty Hippie. So Mr. Dirty Hippie was actually a cool guy. I met him through Tinder of all places, obviously. Where else are you going to meet people like this? But he was pretty chill. He's Dirty Hippie. He's chill. He smokes weed. He was the type of person who was just into having a good time, and I was also into having a good time. So we just connected on that, and that was about it. Pretty shallow. Had dreads. White dude, Rastafarian, I would call him. But not that far. So Dirty Hippie messaged me through the dating app. This was when we first met, going way back 5 years ago, to little old me, and I'm texting him, and we decide for our first date, get this is crazy, but for our first date, he had suggested that we go to Nashville. So I live pretty close to Nashville, but Nashville is still, I mean, at the time it was still growing and it still is now, but it's still a pretty big city. It's kind of expensive to go, and especially going for a first date. And I think that he lived in Nashville, so that was probably the reason why. But that doesn't stop there. It was even crazier is that he wanted to take me on a date in Nashville. So basically we would go out that night, get drunk, go bar hopping in the Nashville bars, take a cab, and he was going to pay for a hotel room for the night. And we would sleep at the hotel room, party in the hotel room, and then check out, and then that would be our date. So basically, we were going to have a full party day in Nashville. And I was kind of freaking out about that notion. He brought it up to me, and I was thinking, bitch, I'm poor. I'm a college student. I'm poor. I'm racking up the student loans to my dismay, and I'm not really making enough money to make ends meet, as it were. And I'm thinking, does he not know that I can't pay for this? So I kind of told him, and I was like, yeah, I would love to do that, but, you know, I don't think I have the money right now to do that. And he was just adamant. So Dirty Hippie had proposed to me. He's like, no, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for everything. We can go out to Nashville. We can go bar hopping, go to a nice restaurant. Then we can come back to the hotel, chill out, whatever. It's cool. I'll pay for it. And I'm just thinking, what? Are you serious? An all expense paid staycation in Nashville? And he's going to pay for this hotel room. He's going to pay for the restaurant. He's going to pay for all of my drinks. As a college girl, you fucking hit the jackpot there. So, and it wasn't like he was unattractive. So I was just thinking, hell yeah, I'm going to do it. And then not really thinking with my rational brain of, I don't really know this guy, but I'm still considering going to Nashville with him for a day and spending a night with him in a hotel room. Now that I think about it, I'm like, Jesus fucking H. Christ, how the hell did you not get murdered? Because there were several situations that I put myself in my early days, my early nice girl days, that could have ended pretty badly. And I hear about that on the news now, and it really freaks me out. But this was one of those situations when I was thinking with my nice girl college drunken girl brain, and my vagina, and not my vagina, and not thinking with the real brain thinking, no, don't do this shit. Not a good idea. But it actually didn't turn out that bad, and he kept his word. We got a really fucking nice hotel. And there's one thing that I noticed about him when we had met up in Nashville and walked up to the hotel lobby and already reserved it. He did everything. He planned everything. I'm thinking, damn, this guy's a fucking keeper. And we go up to the hotel lobby and he gets ready to check in. And I'm thinking, you know, most people when they go to a hotel, they're paying with a credit card, you know, like they're paying with a card. Put it on my card. Put it on my credit card. Dirty hippie pulls out, I kid you not, a wad of cash. Literally a wad of cash out of his pocket to the hotel lobby dude and pays for our room with this wad of cash. And I just kind of think about it. I was like, I know he's not a server. So the next thought that crossed through my mind was, Dirty Hippie is a drug dealer. Not only am I going out with a dude I don't even know, I'm going out with a pretty successful drug dealer. And I was just thinking, I hope it's weed. I hope it's just weed, because then I'm fine with that. If it's anything more, I don't know if I could be with this guy. And I was really considering, I was even considering being with this guy after this, because yeah, he's taking me out on this nice date. He's got a job. He's a drug dealer. That's a job. And he's actually doing pretty well. That was my rationale. So we got into the hotel room. That place was so nice. You could tell that they had just renovated these rooms. They were super pristine, super clean, full sky view of all of Nashville and the Batman building. And yeah, was awesome. Got a taxi at the time. Uber was a thing, but it wasn't as much of a thing as it is now, I feel. So we got like a kind of Uber-esque type thing, taxi, and went down to the bars. I don't know what it's called. Is this called Skid Row? I'm not really sure. But anyway, just lines of bars in Nashville, and just hopped every bar. I paid for all of my drinks. I got pretty wasted. We also went to a restaurant and got some pretty sweet nachos because I was already drunk. So nachos sounded like the best thing. And then we went back to the hotel room, and obviously, you know where that ended. Sex everywhere, all over the room. I would hate for someone to pull a black light onto that room because, yeah, it'd be a fucking Jackson Pollock painting. That's how bad it was, but it was a good time. And, Dirty Hippie knew what he was doing. It was a pretty good time, and he paid for everything. Things were nice. Kind of knew it wasn't going to go anywhere after that, just because it seemed like we were more interested in just having a good time with each other than actually wanting to have any kind of semblance of a relationship. So morning comes, I start my period and bleed all over this nice, pristine white bed sheet. We check out of the hotel, and I'm just thinking, I'm so sorry for that maid who walks in, because she's going to think that he murdered me. But yeah, that happened. He was cool about it. He was like, oh no, I understand, you know, girl power, bleed all over the place. It's fine. I got the money. I got cash. I'll just pay it to him, you know? So we leave, and then after that, it was kind of like no communication, you know. It was a lovely date. He was a pretty cool guy, pretty chill, fun to be around, and after that, that was it. I mean, we had our fun, and that fun was done. Didn't hear anything from him, and I think kind of sporadically he would text me throughout the years, I would say, or maybe... I think after maybe that year after we had been on our first date, he stopped talking completely. And at that point, I was pretty much over him. I was going on to other fuckboys and other adventures with men who I probably shouldn't be around by myself with. But yeah, so it just kind of faded away, and that was that. And then literally yesterday, I'm on my Instagram and I'm just kind of looking at people's photos. People are messaging me about sending Christmas cards, things like that. And my Instagram is private. So when I get a request, it's an actual request. It sends in a request and I have to approve or deny that request. And that just does that for everybody. And I got a friend request or follower request ding on my Instagram, and I go check it out, and guess who the fuck is trying to add me on Instagram? Dirty Hippie. Dirty Hippie is trying to get back with me on Instagram, and I know that there's no other purpose for him to try to add me on Instagram other than it's been so damn long from not being in contact with me for 5 years, that he decided the best way was to try and find me on Instagram and hit up my DMs. We've moved technology since then. So I think that at this point, not only was I shocked that this guy even remembered who I was also shocked at the fact that this guy, this fuck buddy who I had fucked with literally 5 years ago, is now still trying to get in contact with me after 5 years and one night together, and you're still thinking about me enough so that you're trying to get in contact with me again. That's pretty sad. It's like, how low do you have to go that you're going through your bed notches and looking at, okay, well, she didn't call me back, but there's this girl that I fucked with 5 years ago. Maybe she'll respond. Maybe she'll remember who I am. That's fucking crazy to me. And I just started laughing. Like, what else are you supposed to do in that situation? I just started laughing. Because I was like, this fuck boy is working damn hard. He's going through all these past girls that he's fucked with and got to me and is trying to contact me. Bruh, you done. I don't know what to tell you. Obviously, I didn't accept it. At that point, I was like, I'm not even going to entertain this. Not going to entertain this, okay? Be gone, Satan, be gone. And a lot of these dudes, some of them who still contact me, I'm just like, not today, Satan. You're not going to get me today. I got the load on my side. But yeah, Dirty Hippie contacted me through Instagram 5 years later. This is like a When Harry Met Sally situation, if Harry and Sally didn't really give a fuck about each other at all through the whole movie. Even thinking about that now, it's just cringy to me. So cringy. Why you do that? Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. It's over. It's been over for 5 years. Why do you think you could ever rekindle something after 5 years? Dumb. Okay, so Dirty Hippie tried to contact me. There's another guy who I had talked to, and I'm going to give him a little bit of slack because I did talk to him probably 5 months ago, so it wasn't that long ago. But at the same time, I made it pretty clear with him that I wasn't interested, and he, for some reason, still continues to talk to me. And I'm going to call him Barbershop Quartet because he's a barber and he's got a really sweet curly mustache, and it just makes me think of a barbershop quartet. So I'm just going to call him Barbershop, actually, because I don't like to say Barbershop Quartet. That's just really long. Anyway, so Barbershop, a white male, kind of has that thing where he just loves black women, I guess. That's what he told me while we were
on a date with each other when we were getting to know each other. He told me he just likes black women. Okay, that's fine. That's cool. I mean, as long as it's not like a fetish type thing. But I mean, everybody's got their tastes, and I'm glad that you understand that you like black women. So I guess happy to help. Nice guy. It was just kind of we were just two different people, different wavelengths. He had a kid and really not about that stepmom life. This kid was also older, so it's kind of weird to me. And I just didn't, that was just not something I wanted to deal with. So, you know, we had a nice little date. We went on a nature walk. He was really fun to be around and had interesting stories to tell me. And after that, it was just kind of like, you know, every once in a while he'd text me and we would talk. But at that point, I was moving on and I let him know. And I said, hey, barbershop, your mustache is awesome, but I don't think I should be getting any mustache rides from you. And I didn't say it like that, but I was just saying that, you know, that's not what I need right now. And I feel like, you know, you being a parent has different responsibilities with it that I'm not ready for. And I just don't think I could commit to something like that. And it was a pretty nice response that I got. He was like, I understand, you know, thank you for being honest with me. And then, moved on from that. It felt like at that point, we were done and I could move on to other things. And I was actually talking to other guys at the time. And then he would text me again and be like, hey, do you want to hang out at such and such today? And I'd be like, no, I'm just thinking, no, first of all, I deleted your number. So I didn't really know who he was at first. And then I realized it was him. And then I was like, why is he trying to get me to go out with him somewhere? I just told him that I'm not interested. And I just ignored it because I was like, at this point, ghosting is okay because I've already made it evident that I'm not going to do anything with him and I'm not going to be in any relationship with him. And I didn't even say anything about a friendship. So at that point, I think it's done. So I just left it and didn't respond to the message. I want to say like 5 weeks ago, he messaged me again. Hey, how's it going? And I'm just like, dude, come on. I ignored the first message. I'm going to ignore it, this one. And just come on. Like, I've already told you I'm not interested. Just move on. I ignored that one. So I'm just kind of waiting. Barbershop, honestly, I feel like Barbershop is going to text me probably in the next week again. I'm going to see this number and be like, who the fuck is this? I'm going to put it in my little Google search engine and see it's from Alaska and think, oh, Barbershop, that's Barbershop. And then I'm just not going to respond to it. Anyway, honestly, all of my contacts I put names on. And if you come up with just a number, yeah, I'm going to be curious about who you are, but more than likely, I'm not going to respond to you at all, unless it's somebody who, for some reason, I lost their phone number and just never got their phone number back and haven't talked to them in a while, and I actually really like them, then I will probably respond. But if you're just a fuckboy that I had no dealings with whatsoever after we did our thing, get lost, dude. Go find somebody else. Like, there's plenty of other people who would be interested in talking to you. Don't waste your time with me, okay? Please, don't. You're wasting your time. Okay, so, dirty hippie, barbershop. And then my personal favorite, this guy literally back and forth with him. And most of this was my fault. I'm going to take responsibility for this. I'm going to take the fall because most of it was my fault. And I, for some reason, just had this thing about him that I wanted to keep him in my life. I'm going to call him Mr. England. And when I first met him, I also met him in college, when I was in college in Orlando. And I was a part of one of the school's clubs. And this club was called Heavy Metal Nights. I don't know if this is a thing anymore. But basically, it was a heavy metal club. It was just metal in general, metal heads,
hang out, talk about metal, listen to metal, and appreciate all things metal. And I, as a metal connoisseur, don't really listen to it as much as I used to, but you know what? I'm getting back to it because I just fucking love it, you know? It's sophisticated, it's heavy, it's raw, it's dark, everything that I think that I am in a bundle. So I decided to sign up for this club, and one of the first meetings I went to, we were all getting to know each other, and I see this dude, a spindly little dude with long blonde hair, black t-shirt. I don't remember what was on his t-shirt, probably a metal band t-shirt. And he was sitting next to me and turns around and talks to me and says, "Hey, what's your name?" And then I tell him my name, and then he tells me his name, Mr. England. And we talk about classic metal, classic rock, because that's what he likes. He likes the classic metal, the dark metal, things like that, or black metal as well. And those things we were talking about, and seemed like a cool dude. And I asked him where he was from, and he said he was originally from England, but he had been living in the United States for a while, so he's dual citizenship, I think. And I was like, "Well, why don't you have an accent?" Because he seriously had like a Californian accent. And I was like, "Did you live in California or something? Like, where's this accent coming from?" And he's like, "No, I don't like my accent." So apparently because he didn't like his British accent, I don't know why, because dude, you'd get so much pussy if you put on that British accent. Girls still love that British accent. I mean, it used to be more of a thing in the 90s, but I mean, a British accent, you can't fail with that shit. You gotta work that shit, dude. Work it. But he didn't like it, so I guess it was like some kind of Cockney or like, I don't know, Essex, Sussex accent or something. So he was just like, I'm not gonna turn that one on. I'm not gonna turn on the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins thing going on. Right, love? Oi. Right, love, let's talk about some mail, eh? So he was like, "I'm just not going to talk like that." And that was okay. I was like, "Fine, I would love for you to talk in the accent, but whatever, I get it. There are some ugly British accents out there." So yeah, it's just kind of a friendship thing at first. Our main like was metal. That's what put us together. And he seemed like a cool dude. He was actually in some of my art classes too, because he was a video game designer. That was what his major was. And I was graphic design. So we both kind of had similar classes overlapping with each other. And seemed like a cool dude, was into art. We also had that thing in common, had the classes in common. So I talked to him sometimes about some of our assignments that we had. So that's what kind of brought us together. And the first time that I actually had sex with him was after a football game. So basically, we met up with each other because there was like tailgating that they had, and our tailgates were pretty fucking crazy. They were pretty intense. Lots of drunk people, lots of like free food and like activities and things like that. So everybody wanted to be at those tailgates. Like, it was so big, I'm sure, in most schools, that they would cancel classes if the classes overlapped with the tailgating parties, because it was just that huge. And they knew that all the students wouldn't be in class. So dude, Mr. England, loved Yingling and would carry a pack of Yingling around with him everywhere he went to these things. And he was already fucking sloshed, okay? He's fucking sloshed. We both lived on campus, so he like got drunk in his dorm. I kind of got drunk in my dorm. We both walked out to where the tailgate was happening, and we were all just drinking beer and walking around this campus fucked up.
So we all went, did our thing, and tailgated, and then had the game, and the game was really great. This was at UCF, and this was actually when Bortles was playing on our team. So we won a lot of games, and that was the one time when I actually enjoyed watching football, just because we had really great players in the years that I was there at college. And Blake Bortles, and like I think his name's Blake Bortles. Bortles, we just call him Bortles, and so many other like really great players during that time of me being in college. So those games were pretty fucking epic to watch, and everybody wanted to be there. So it was a packed fucking stadium. We were fucking drunk off of our minds, and I was with a friend of mine as well. And I decided after the football game, which, you know, lasted until late at night, I would go back to his dorm, because obviously what better way to cap off a whole day of being shit-faced than to get drunk even more until you pass out and go to sleep. So he had plenty more beer and alcohol at his place. So me and my friend went back with him, and I drank more. My friend, after staying for a little while, left. So it was just me and him. And, stayed over at his house. We both had sex. Wasn't really the best sex because we were both fucking drunk and whiskey dick. I mean, he definitely had whiskey as well. So whiskey dick, Yingling dick, all of those things. So, wasn't really good. And it was kind of weird because at one point in the middle of us having sex, he just stopped, and I wanted to continue, but he didn't, and he kind of pushed me off, and that really made me upset, because I was like, what have I done? Like, I don't know. I'm like, are you disgusted by me? Like, what is going on? And so I was like really upset about that. And the first time we had sex was actually pretty bad. Like, this dude was like pushing me off. We're drunk, of course, so I'm just like belligerent as well and pissed off. And I'm just like, I'm just going to walk back to my dorm because this guy's an asshole. So I walk back to my dorm and I'm literally like upset, and I'm just thinking, wow, I thought this guy was great. Like, we had a lot in common. We have sex, and then he's being an asshole already. And found out that he actually really liked my friend. And that made me even more jealous and angry and pissed off and feeling worthless, because I was like, oh, he likes my friend and thinks my friend is really cute, but like, he likes me enough to have sex with me, but then also is disgusted with me and shoos me away. I don't know if that was the case. It could have been some other things going on with him, and he seemed pretty emotional around that time, so I don't know what was happening. And at this point, I understand that it could possibly not have been me, but of course I was just thinking, of course it has to be me. It's always me. There's something wrong with me, because that's what I felt like at the time. So that was terrible, and I didn't talk to him for a very long time during college. And then junior year, he contacted me again, and I was just thinking, I don't know if I want to talk to him or not, because that was a really weird experience, and I'd been seeing him around every once in a while. But it was just kind of like, I just don't know if I can rekindle any kind of friendship, fuck buddy relationship that we had, because it really wasn't that great. But you know what? With my nice girl mentality, I was like, well, you know, maybe this time it'll be different. It'll be different now. So, got back with him again, ended up at his house again. And, you know, for a couple of times it was okay. And then the next time I would go back to his house, at this point we were off of campus, so he lived in his own apartment. Got drunk with him because it seemed like every single time we were hanging out, we would be drinking. And both were belligerent again. And this time was the straw that broke the camel's back, because he did something that I believe at that point was unforgivable to me. So I was pretty drunk, and I was at his house, and we had both planned on getting drunk together. That was the whole thing. So I got drunk at his house, we were hanging out, and then he wanted to have sex with me.
And so, I mean, I wanted to have sex too, so we both had sex with each other. And then literally after we had sex, he kind of got distant. And that whole distant situation that happened the first time. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then he was like, I'm going to take a shower, but I think, you know, you should head out. And I'm just thinking, what? What do you mean head out? Like, I drove here. I'm drunk, obviously, fucking shit-faced. And you're telling me to leave. Like, can I not just sleep on the couch? And then I even asked him that. He had a huge fucking apartment. He had a huge apartment with his own room. And then there was a spare room that I could have slept in. And I was like, I'm pretty drunk and I'm not going to drive. Can I just sleep on the couch or something? And he's like, no, I just don't feel like you should be here. I just really want to go to sleep. And like, if you're here, I won't be able to go to sleep. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me that you're going to make me risk my life driving drunk and possibly going to jail because you don't feel comfortable that you had sex with me and now you're feeling a little awkward about it? Dude, are you fucking serious? I got so pissed off that time that I remember he had like a bottle of Jack Daniels or something. It was a glass bottle and a table, glass table. I poured out the fucking rest of his liquor because I was like, fuck you, when he went to his room, because he literally shut himself in his room because he didn't want to talk to me because he felt like it was getting really awkward and uncomfortable and didn't want to be around it. And then I took the fucking glass bottle and fucking hit his table and broke his table and said, fuck you, I hate you, you're a fucking asshole. I'm leaving because I don't want to be around you right now, because if I'm around you any longer, I'm going to fucking beat your ass. And I left. And it was a terrible decision, but I didn't know what to do. I could have called somebody, but I didn't want anybody to know what was happening. I didn't want anybody to know that I was with a fucking dumbass, terrible person, and that I'm drunk, and that like I'm crying and upset that my stupid decisions got me to this point. So, and at the time, like I said, yeah, Uber was a thing, but it was pretty expensive, especially around that time, and was not the first thing I was considering. So I did something very stupid that I regret to this day, but I felt like at the time I didn't have a choice. Drove back to my apartment, which really wasn't far away, but I'm not going to make that excuse because I did drive drunk. And I was really pissed off because this asshole had done that to me. And I would just say that regardless of you being a fuck buddy or whatever, if you're going to plan to drink with a girl that you're having sex with, don't make her leave drunk. Don't make her drive drunk. That's a really stupid and terrible decision, and you'd feel pretty fucked up and sad. And terrible if something happened to her because of your negligence and her negligence. Make sure she gets an Uber. Make sure she has a friend to take her home. Same thing goes for women as well. Make sure that that person is going home safe. If you don't want them to be around you, at least make sure they're going home safe. That's the one thing I'm going to say about that. But yeah, after that, I had no dealings with him because he was a fucking asshole. And the fact that he had done that to me just really turned me off completely from him and really woke me up and made me realize the type of guys that I was putting myself around. And I was done with it. And I didn't text him back. He would text me saying, I'm sorry, you know, I fucked up, whatever. Wouldn't respond to him. Bye, Satan. Don't want to be around you anymore. So literally, I think it was after I had graduated and I was in my AmeriCorps program and my community service program that I was doing after college. And I decided to go on my Facebook Messenger. I don't know why, but for some reason I was going on it, hadn't been on it for a long time, and noticed that Mr. England had been sending me messages through Facebook Messenger that I had blocked. The whole time had been sending me messages sporadically throughout those past 2 years
after that thing happened. And, well, after the past 1.5 years. And they were like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry what I've done. I feel really bad about it, blah, blah, blah. At that point, enough time had passed where I felt like it was okay for me to forgive him, as I had forgiven so many other assholes that I dealt with. So I took the liberty to contact him again, which I don't know if it was a good decision or not. But at the time, I felt like I needed to get rid of him in a way of like forgiving him for what he'd done and then just leaving it. So I had messaged him back and I said, thank you for apologizing and I forgive you and I've moved on and whatever. And so we had kind of reconnected in that way, started talking, but more of like a friendly talk, not like a sexual type thing, even though sometimes he would bring up sexual things. But at that point I was just kind of like, he still lived in Florida. I lived in Tennessee at that point. There was nothing that was gonna happen. Telling me about his life, that he was like an IT guy at like a casino and all the crazy fucked up shit he sees, like the mob people coming into the casino, which was kind of funny. And then the fact that like he's not a skinny little twink anymore. He's a, you know, lifting and muscly and whatever. And at the time I was trying to lose weight and be fit. So I was like, yeah, let's like take pictures of our progress or whatever. So, you know, at that point, I was talking to him again, but it wasn't the same way. If I was the nice girl that I was before, I would have texted him back thinking, oh, you know, he's probably changed now. Let me get back together with him or let me have sex with him again. Let me get back into that comfortable space of being around a dude that just doesn't really care about me. But I really want somebody to cling myself to and attach myself to. And that wasn't the thing. That wasn't the case. I'd pretty much matured at that point and knew that this person really doesn't deserve my time. And after, you know, talking to him and then him kind of weaning back on the talking and not really ghosting, but weaning back on the communication again, I was like, at this point, you know, it was nice that I forgave him and that he apologized for me, but the past is the past and it's done. And I've done so much for my life to improve. And yeah, it's great to know that he's doing well and I wish him luck. But other than that, I don't think I'm going to be in contact with him anymore. I think that pretty much solidified the fact that I was done and I was over and I was in a new point in my life that I didn't need to have him come back to me to make me feel better. So it kind of ended with that. And I think he probably texted me every once in a while, but I kind of ignored it at this point because I'm just like, we're done, son. We're done. These guys are ghosts of my past, and they will stay ghosts of my past. There was a reason why I don't have communication with you guys anymore. It's because we didn't have anything in common, or because the relationship wasn't going to work out for a number of factors, or the fact that you didn't even want to have a relationship with me in the beginning, or didn't actually deserve me or my time, or the fact that maybe you did something really shitty and fucked up and your behavior showed me the kind of person that you truly were. And I'm remembering that. And even though I had forgiven you, I forgave you. And me forgiving you doesn't mean, yeah, you can come back into my life. It means I forgave you and I'm moving on. If I say that, that means that I'm done and I don't want to talk to you anymore. So go have a great life. Enjoy your Christmas or your holiday season, but please, 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 fuck boys of my Christmas past, leave me the fuck alone. Okay? Fly away, my little birds, fly away. This is the end of this episode, and I hope everybody enjoyed my story time with the fuck boys of my Christmas past. I believe this is episode 21 of Nice Girl Rehab. I'm going to be coming back at you next week, Saturdays, always going to be Saturdays. I'm going to be posting these episodes before 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So just look out for these episodes whenever you can. always have them available for you, multiple places, platforms that you can go to through Anchor, through Apple Podcast, through Spotify, it's going to be on Spotify soon. SoundCloud, going to be on that soon. But so many other platforms that this is going to be open on. Also, still taking applications for a co-host, co-hosting opportunity. If you want to be a co-host, work alongside with me as a person who can basically create a voice for all of the nice girls in the world, then please do that. Please show me. Please email me or DM me on Instagram at nicegirlrehab. Any way you want to contact me to let me know that you're interested in creating this podcast with me and just taking it to the next level for this new year coming up, 2019. I'd love to hear from you guys. Everyone else who's listening to this, thank you so much for your support. It's been a rocky road, but I'm coming to a point that I'm actually really happy where I'm at. I'm glad that you guys could follow this journey, and I really hope that you're getting something out of it and that you enjoy it. And I'd love to hear your feedback as well. So you can email me, nicegirlrehab@gmail.com. You can contact me through my Instagram. My Instagram is @nicegirlrehab. Whatever you want to do, but thank you guys so much for listening. And I will be back on here next week, like I said. Be safe out there, babes. And I'm not going to do a Christmas episode. So for all you beautiful babes that celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and have a great New Year's as well if I don't do a New Year's episode. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.